chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. If I keep it 5 minutes, LaDonna said it'd be the first time I ever have told the truth about preaching. Turn to it myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 1. Read several verses here and touch on a few things. Just kind of let y'all know where I stand. I believe in a virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection. I believe in the King James Bible. I believe it is inerrant, infallible, unadulterated, breath, and written word of God for you and I. I believe it takes the Holy Ghost to convict you with a man of God standing and preaching with the unction and the power and the anointing of the gospel to convict you. You got to give ears to hear, to listen to, allow it to permeate your heart. You got to come, and we talked about this evening, you got to come without any conviction, and there'll be no conversion. And the best way I know is the only thing that we have that can... we preachers can preach or testify on that can save or change a life is the gospel. It ain't turning new leaves. It ain't changing your friends. It ain't getting a case of the do-betters or the do-nots. It's the gospel. It says right here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. As for I stand, took a man of God to preach the gospel to me, but it began on a Friday night about 9 or 10 months before, sitting in my girlfriend's living room where the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sins for the first time in my life, Sister Tara. God spoke to my heart, and I realized I needed him. It didn't matter how many times I'd ridden the church bus to White Oak. It didn't matter how many times I rode a mule's wagon to Cali Harbor. It didn't matter how many times I'd done this. That Friday night's when the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart. By which ye also are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. I told you I believe in the King James Version. Amen. I believe the Word of God is inerrant, infallible. I believe that you cannot know the written Word without knowing the written Word. He is the same according to John chapter, St. John chapter 1. He's been since the beginning, amen. And he's always going to be. Hallelujah, amen. This world was here before I got here. It's here now. It's going to be here after I'm gone. When I'm gone, I'm going to be in heaven, amen. Hallelujah. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We're fixing to celebrate that here in just a couple of months, amen. I think the fifth Sunday of March, is that when it is that weekend? We'll be celebrating that, amen. I'm glad that we have that to celebrate. All the other graves out there got bones, amen. They're there. But ours over in Jerusalem is empty, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I should have got a shout out some of y'all on that. It's empty. Amen. He's alive. And do you know where he's sitting right now? At the right hand of God Almighty, evermore, making intercession for this service right here tonight, amen. Answering our pastor's prayers, answering our prayer. He's evermore making intercession for you. Know why? Because he rose from the dead. How about that? It said in that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and when the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen above James and then all the apostles, and last of all he was seen also me also as one born out of due time. I want to stop right there and then I'm done. I want to say this, Brother Josh, I've never seen Jesus, amen, in person, but one day I will. I've never seen him physically. I felt his presence. I've felt the word of God in my heart. I've felt him through the singing of the songs of Zion. Amen. But one day, Brother Brad, I'm going to see him face to face. Whether we all leave here by the way of rapture or we leave here by the way of death, if you're born again, child of God, you're going to see him. Amen. Amen. But if you've never been saved, oh, there's a downside to that. It's the truth. Not many preachers preach on it. But I want to tell you, it's the truth. If you die lost, you're not going to see him. Oh, you'll see him on Judgment Day. Everybody's going to stand. You read Philippians chapter 2. Everybody's going to stand before him. But I thank one God. I wasn't born when I was born in due time, Brother Josh. But I tell you, I was born again.
Amen. Amen. I'm done. Psalms chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased unto sacrifices of righteousness. Wilt burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks unto the altar. This psalm was written after David had committed a horrible crime. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He had had a man murdered. He had done some despicable things. He had sinned against God. He had sinned against others. And his sin had caused havoc and destroyed the innocent. He took wasn't his, and he made it his, and he did what he wanted to do, thinking that he was in the right, thought he had it covered, thought he had it hid. But I'm here today to tell you that even though that David did them things and did the things that were despicable and despisable and horrible and a heinous crime that he did, there was still forgiveness for his sins. And I thank God that the blood of Jesus covers the multitude of sins. I'm so thankful that his blood, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what life you tried to cover up. It doesn't matter what sin you try to cover up. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ will cover that sin. These altars are open tonight. Why? Because Jesus wants you to come down, and he wants you to confess your sins before him. Why? Because he already knows what you've done. He already knows where you was at this weekend. He already knows what you're lying about. He already knows what you got covered up. He just wants you to realize the state that you're in. He wants you to realize that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved by his grace. So as David did, cried out, "Oh God, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness." See, he mentions many things here that he says. He says transgressions, iniquities, and sins. There's three different things there that you see. And sin is where you miss the mark completely. Then iniquity is where you have you have perverted God's will. And your transgressions is where you've deliberately disobeyed God. David covered every single thing there in that scripture. Why? Because he knew he needed God's forgiveness. He was not able, being a king, being a great leader, he was not able to set his life straight. It was only by God's power that he could. The call is out to you tonight. There is nothing you can do. There's no righteousness that you can do that will save you, that will pay your way to heaven. It is only through the blood of Jesus. And you must confess your sins before Jesus, before it's everlasting too late.
Gotta love when the preacher just throws you up here unexpected, but Bible said be instant in season, out of season. So we'll try to do with 5 minutes what we got. If you got your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. Preach something very simple, very quick. John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he sung that song a while ago, he's all that I need. And I'm glad for that, but I just want to preach for a few minutes on God's love, something we all overlook or don't quite grasp. Something so simple yet so profound, God's love. Amen. It was a perfect love. His Son was perfect. Perfect love, yet he loves people who aren't perfect. I'm glad for that. Because without that, I would have, you know, he would have never loved me because I'm so imperfect and I'm not worth it. Okay, and then it was a pure love. His blood was pure. His Son was pure. Pure love, but yet he loves impure people. It was a powerful love. He can save everyone. A powerful love, yet he loves someone who can't do for themselves. It's presenting love. His only Son died for all of our sins. He presented his only Son to the world. He cared enough for me to send his Son to die on a cross. He presented the pure, spotless Lamb of God to the world. Free love for all of us. Free way to heaven. A free ticket. The price has been paid. Down at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. That's a song that comes to my mind when I think about reading this verse. He loves us no matter what we do. As Kevin said, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what sins you've committed, God loves you. He has a place in heaven for you if you're just willing to come to him and give it all to him. That's what he wants you to do tonight, is just lay it at the cross no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been in life, and give it all to him. Give him the glory for everything. And, you know, ask him to save you. Confess with your mouth your sins and ask him. Believe in your heart and you can be saved. He loves us no matter who we are. Some of us were born with a, some people are born into, you know, a family of this lifelong, this, you know, trouble. They got a bad name from the get-go. Well, here comes another one. Well, God loves them people too. He loves the people that, you know, have done bad things just as much as he loves the people in this room. He loves us in spite of all our failures and our troubles and our faults. I'm glad for that because, oh, I failed him so many times. And he just picks me right back up and he welcomes me with open arms and he says, boy, I love you. His love is something right here. You know, that's just two verses right there in the Bible. And I know it's very, very common for us just to read that and overlook it. But if we would ever begin to wrap our minds around how much he loves us, oh, God, I wasn't worthy. I wasn't worthy to be saved. I wasn't worthy to be loved. But yes, he has grace and mercy on us. No matter where we mess up, how many times we mess up, I'm just flesh and bones. But he cared enough to love me that night. March 6, 2015 at Truth Baptist Church in Bremen, Georgia. You know, before I got there, I said, Lord, you saved somebody tonight. Knowing that I needed saved, I didn't ever think it'd be me that night. I didn't hear a word the preacher said, but oh, Lord. He crawled up on the pew where I was at that night. And he said, boy, I love you, and I know you need a Savior. And I asked him to save me, and that's exactly what he done. And I ain't lived right ever since that day. You know, I still fall, and I still fail him daily. But he still loves me, and he accepted me into the family of God that night. And you know, that's just something that you never forget. That's something that's impacted into your mind, that someone would love you so much when you're not worth nothing, accept you into the family of God and give you a home in heaven, knowing you ain't worth it, knowing that you're not going to make money. Much or nothing, but God loves you no matter what you've done and where you've been. And hallelujah, I thank him for loving me.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. When we got to church tonight, I realized I didn't have my glasses, so I can't see nothing without my glasses. I've got extra glasses at work. I've got them in my truck. I got them in my car that I drive to work. Got them everywhere except in Kim's car, so I didn't have a pair of glasses. So if I look like Eva, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians, boy, them are nice, ain't they? Pretty. Philippians chapter number 1. As Brother Josh was preaching this morning, every time we get around the book of Philippians, this is the scripture that comes to my mind. It's scripture that has been a blessing to me through a lot of years. I don't have time to give you my testimony tonight, but I will quickly say I was saved at the age of 9. My parents didn't get saved till I was about 17 years old, so by then I had done turned the wrong way and started living a pretty rough life and wound up in jail finally. God let me go as far as he was going to let me go. And I wound up in jail up here in Paulding County, the old Paulding County jail. And didn't stay in there long, but I was in there. And that's when God came to me and just let me know that it was time to change my life, time to turn back to him, time to quit all the crazy stuff, drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But so that's when the Lord touched my heart. I was almost 30 years old before I rededicated my life to the Lord. And being in jail always brings me back to Philippians. Now, I ain't trying to compare myself to Paul, but I will say this. I've learned a lot through this scripture in chapter number 1 of Philippians. The Bible says in verse number 12, Paul being in jail, and still an encouragement to God's people. He says, "But you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident." By my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yeah, and will rejoice. Got to thinking about this, and Paul being in prison, behind bars, bound. And you got to think now, most of you, I hope all of you, hadn't never experienced the jail. But I'm telling you right now, spreading the gospel was not what I was thinking of when I was in jail. But Paul, being the man of God he was concerned with one thing when he was in this prison. And let me just tell you this, you don't have to be in prison to have a burden for the Lord and for God's people and for a lost and dying world. You don't have to be in prison. Listen, we get in valleys. Every one of us has been through valleys. Some of you in here tonight probably is in a valley. Some just came out of a valley. Some will be in a valley tomorrow. But I think it's important for us to understand that when we are in those places, when we are bound, when we are down and out, listen, it's of great importance how that we present the gospel, how that we try to be a help to others. Because there's always going to be eyes on us. Always going to be people watching our life. And I'm telling you right now, when I'm at my lowest, listen, I still want to be an encouragement to my family, to my friends, to my church family. I still want them to know that I love the Lord. I want to exalt Him. I want to lift Him up. I want people to know that even in those times
when it seems too dark to carry on, this God that we serve, He's worthy of our worship, our praise. He's worthy of us lifting Him up, showing this lost and dying world, hey, God is God on the mountain, and God is God in the valley, and we just need to spread the gospel. Oh, listen, I've seen people get in that valley, and I'm telling you right now, I've seen many of them just get out of church, turn their back on God. It was too much for them to bear. But listen, if we'll put God first, if we'll just exalt God, lift God up, even in those darkest of our times, I'm telling you, there's good going to come out of it. Paul said Christ was being preached all through that palace. Amen. Christ was being exalted and preached, whether it was those mocking and making fun of, or whether it was the brethren who needed encouraging. Christ was being preached. And I'd encourage you tonight. I don't even know what time I started, but I would encourage you tonight. Listen, whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, whether those times are good times or whether it's bad times, whether the death angel has passed your way or whether you have that towel of surrender up, just about ready to surrender, I would encourage you to remember that people are dependent on you and I. People are watching you and I, and we serve a great God. God is worthy of all of our praise. And I'm telling you, we just need to keep on keeping on, because there's all kind of eyes on you and I. Amen. Don't quit. Amen. Don't you dare stop. Just continue to lift God up, even when you're in that valley. What a blessing. What a blessing. Paul has no idea the stuff that he penned down through this precious word of God. Has no idea what it would mean to you and I all these years later as an encouragement, letting us know, hey, even when we're at our lowest, get our eyes on God. Lift Him up. Somebody needs to hear and see that we love God with all of our heart, even when we're at the lowest in our life. God bless you. We love you tonight.
In the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I'm like Dorsey. I could give you my testimony. I got saved at a very young age, back in 1971, 11 years old. But all through my life, I got out of church and got back into church after I got married, and got back out of church, and then my dad got sick. And I got back into church, and praise God, I've been there ever since. And I've learned a lot over the years of being in church. But I want to read something out of Philippians chapter 4 right here. When I was Josh said something about popcorn preaching a while ago, I said, man, what has been on my mind? And as y'all know, I preached on Wednesday night. This right here come across my mind when we was up here, when I went out there and got my Bible out of the truck. Chapter 4, verse 6 is, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to comment on that. When I was laying down there on the side of the road, and I know y'all probably get tired of hearing about my accident, but that's a valley that I went through, and praise God, He has brought me through it and with flying colors and humbled me, and people's lives have been touched by God through the things that He's led me to do. And when I was laying there on the side of the road, I was laying there bleeding to death, basically. And this young man come up, and we had a word of prayer. And the peace that God gave me in that situation that I was in, I can't explain it. Unless you've ever been in a situation like that, the peace of God comes over you. And I told that young man, he said, everything's going to be all right. And I said, yes, sir, I know it is. Because if I stay or if I go, God's given me the peace. And went on from that right there, and it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both heard, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And through that situation right there, and through my life, and through the things that I went through in life, I lost my mother and dad 4 months apart due to cancer and other illnesses. But through those things, that I've learned a lot of things about leaning on God. In verse 11 right there, it says, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And there's a lady that I never met, the lady, there's a man that gave me a little thing, and I passed it on to someone else that was in a trial. It was a bookmark. And it says right here in verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding to have well done, but ye did communicate with my afflictions. And in verse 19, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can stand here tonight and tell you he supplied all of my need and a great deal of my wants. He has truly blessed me. I was a young man when I lost my job. I say I was young. I was 47 years old when I lost my arm and lost my job. Standing out there on like a sandbar in the middle of the river. Water gets around you, you sink a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? And God blessed me. God blessed me. He's took very, very, very good care of me and my family. I'm not wanting for anything. I've had food. Started my business. God is blessed in that. But it says to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That's the main thing, praying. And supplications with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And I think that if you will pray and turn it over to God, whatever valley you're in, whatever physical condition you're facing, health conditions, mental conditions, if you pray and turn it over to God. I read a thing here a while back, and there's some lady that had lost her sister, lost her uncle, lost some more things in her, more family relatives in her family, and was sick and had sickness in her family, and says she's done. Says she's done. She's had all she can stand. Turn to God. Turn to God. That's all I can say, and that works every time. Works every time. I've never had anybody to come tell me that they turned totally to God and turned it over to him, and he didn't bless them in some way or another. He'd get you through it. And I seen my dad lay down there, and it used to be Atlanta West Hospital, laying there with cancer. And he told me he wasn't taking no more treatments. And I said, well, if you don't, you know what's going to happen. He said, I'm ready. He took no more treatments. I seen him go into a coma, four months and 4 days. And 4 months and 2 days later, I think it was, my mother passed away in Carrollton Hospital down there with emphysema. God seen me through it. He blessed me. Did I question God? Sure I did. I don't think as a human being alive it goes through some of those things like that right there, question God, that don't question God. He still give you the answer and he still gets you through it. So rely on God for everything you stand in need of, and he'll take care of you.